Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then we consider what you know of the news of the day. Tonight on the show, we have the Chief Minister of Penang, Chow Kun Yeow. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us. Now, if I may begin our conversation by looking at the priorities of the Penang state government at the moment. Some states have their own strategies when it comes to dealing with COVID-19. We see in Selangor, there's the Selangor Task Force on COVID. What is Penang's public health strategy at the moment? What is it making a priority now 1 year into the pandemic?
Thank you, Melissa and Sharad, for having me back again in Consider This. You have started with pandemic management over here in Penang. In Penang, we do not have a special task force as in Selangor, but nevertheless, the state government machinery is fully committed in working with the National Security Council and also the Penang State Health Department and various enforcement agencies to manage COVID-19 pandemic here in Penang. In Penang, we would like to see restriction that have been imposed be enforced so that we can reduce the risk of infection. And for instance, the recent Thai Pusam celebration, we decided that there would not be any procession or sending off to the temple, but nevertheless, federal government decided otherwise. And I have been appointed to head the State Security Committee on COVID-19 management, and we have been meeting on a regular basis. And right now, I think our focus is to bring the effort down to the district and Mukim level, sort of to micro-manage the hotspots so that we can do the three T's, that is testing, tracing, and treatment. And I'm not too happy to note that of recent weeks, we have a spike of cases in Penang. It is already 3 days in running. We surpassed the 200 mark. So we hope that this is probably a result of the testing that we are doing amongst the foreign worker in the factory and industrial sector. And we would like to continue with testing, of course, because only through testing we are able to identify the positive cases so that other immediate action can be taken to isolate, to contact trace, send them for treatment.
Right. And when you say testing, granted, you know, more testing means sometimes more cases. Is the Penang government happy to or going to be okay with the fact that the numbers may spike if you continue this approach of testing?
Taking the SOXO testing program, we are happy to note that we are actually the highest in terms of percentage. We have covered about 51% of those foreign workers registered with PAKESO for testing. And we would say that it is rather slow. This exercise should have been completed much earlier. It is a necessary step so that through this testing, we can be able to identify all the positive cases and take the necessary follow-up action. Yeah.
So can I ask you about the factories? I mean, there's a huge industrial area in Penang. Are factories and factory management adjusting to the new realities? Are they creating production systems that make sense of the need for social distancing and the like. I mean, have you been able to monitor that situation?
It has been recognized that workplace compliance of SOP is not an issue in the factory, particularly the MNCs, even in the SMEs. But factory workers, besides spending 8 to 10 hours in the workplace, have to be transported back to the accommodation, whether in the nearby workers' quarters or staying in a housing estate amongst the community. So that create an issue. While SOP may be easier to comply at the workplace, but the transporting them to and from the factory, how the living condition of the workers' quarters is beyond at the moment, left much to be desired. And that's why the government recognized that with the APTA 446, that is the workers' minimum standard of housing and amenities, employers are required to provide better accommodation for the workers so that they can, in this pandemic, social distancing, physical distancing and all that can be complied, not only in the workplace, but also in places of accommodation and worker quarters.
Right. And what about Penang's healthcare infrastructure? Chief Minister, has the past year taught you about the robustness or the resilience of Penang's healthcare infrastructure? Has it been sufficient in handling the pandemic this past year? Has more money been pumped into Penang's healthcare systems?
Like the rest of the country, I think we face a situation that with the spike of cases, our public health system had been overwhelmed up to the extent that the health department seek the cooperation of the employers to look into striking a balance. As Sharad asked just now, if you do more testing, you have more positive cases. And where do you place them after that? In the low risk COVID center, whether they end up in the hospital wards, or because of the burden on the public health system, we have a new policy, stay at home for those in category 1 and 2 to have this civilian at home. So this is the public health response to the upsurge of cases of COVID-19, and they have to ensure that the public health systems are not overwhelmed because of the spike in cases. We are working hard to, on a low risk COVID center, we have just got approval for a 1,000 bed low risk center in Seberang Perai Selatan. We have just received news that the allocation has been approved. So our state machinery will be working with the state health department to get this new low-risk COVID center ready to meet the upsurge of cases and the need to place them in such center so that they do not infest other people that keep into close contact with them.
Chief Minister, what about the people of Penang? Do you feel that they understand the need for compliance, or even when if they are quarantined, understand how to reach out to health officials in order to monitor themselves? Because they, you know, while this stay-at-home quarantine policy is made to fit the infrastructure needs, it also requires people to have an understanding of where the how the disease is affecting them and whether they are getting sicker or they maintain fairly asymptomatic status. What's in place for them to comply with these SOPs?
I think for the public health system, it is under the jurisdiction of the state and federal health authority. But as state government, we have been collaborating very closely with the relevant authority so that the people are aware that SOP compliance is so important to reduce the infection rate. And for the state government, from the very early days, we have focused our attention on communicating to the rakyat and also enforcement by the local council. And up to now, we are still continuing with this enforcement action. First, of course, to educate, if not issuing of summons, so that the people will be able to be on the same page as the health authority and the state government, that we definitely have to recognize the signs of this virus.
Right. And
we have launched our latest campaign. The virus is at your doorstep. If there is no movement, there will be no infection.
Right.
As a reminder to the people, it is so important to comply with the SOP.
Okay, so educating the public first and foremost. I want to ask you, Chief Minister, how has this past year been different for you in terms of managing the pandemic? I mean, now that we are under a state of emergency, what consequences has the emergency proclamation had on the Penang state government's ability to govern effectively in Penang, considering that all state legislative branches have now been suspended? Has it had an impact on the fight against COVID-19 in particular?
I think I've said earlier in another forum that we can look at the proclamation of emergency in two perspectives. One is, of course, the public health perspective. And of course, the second one is a political dimension. First, we can recognize that with the proclamation of emergency power, we have heard that with that ordinance, the private health resources, asset, and human resources can be mobilized to help the government, the public health system, so that the public health system will not be overwhelmed, and also to increase the power of the authority in taking necessary action immediately without having to amend laws in parliament. That we can understand if it is used for public health measures, improve our efficiency, mobilize the resources so that we can keep the situation under well control and well managed. However, we do not see why parliament or state assembly had to be suspended. It had nothing to do with public health, probably more to do with a political consideration that parliament do not have to face, for instance, a vote of no confidence. But I don't know why state assembly has also to be suspended during this period. Having said that, I've not answered the second part of your question. We recognize that while it is necessary for public health measures, the state government has not been impacted greatly. We still continue to function. Every week, we still have our state executive council meeting. We have been also invited to join the Sidang Khas of the Security Council on COVID-19 management 3 times a week, chaired by the Right Honorable Prime Minister, where we can highlight issues faced in Penang to be escalated through to this special meeting, so that whatever issues that we face at the state level can be taken up by the federal government.
Chief Minister, can I ask you, what did you raise the last time you went for the meeting? What were some of the issues that you raised in this special Sidang Khas COVID-19?
I don't raise issue every meeting, but I make sure that when I raise, it is of substance. For instance, I raised the need for a grand strategy to face the challenges ahead. I think it was probably 2 weeks ago that I raised it, and I questioned the wisdom of the Director General, Tan Sri Nohijam, over his public statement in that the MCO was for 2 weeks, and he actually asked for 4 weeks, but 2 weeks was granted. But before the 2 weeks is up, he was already advocating the fact that MCO will not be extended beyond 4 weeks. This is the message that he is sending out. I believe it is not too appropriate, because people will be looking forward to loosening up rather than tightening the situation. And with the number of cases surging beyond 3,000, 4,000, even very close to 5,000, definitely this is not the type of narrative and optics that we want to disseminate to the people.
Right. Okay, Chief Minister, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll have you stay on the line. We'll come back and continue this conversation on Consider This. Stay tuned.